presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
What a great night it was last night. Touchdown Club of Atlanta really rolling out the red carpet, a class organization, and another classy night as they had their annual awards banquet. Some of the big names involved with Georgia football were on hand, and many of those incoming recruits were honored with awards. It was great to see Nakobe Dean get a chance to be celebrated. We'll talk more about that throughout the week. Trayvon Walker was on hand, Dominic Blaylock on hand. A really, really good night. We'll tell you more about that coming up, but just off the top of the program, wanted to say thanks for the Touchdown Club of Atlanta welcoming us into their awards banquet again last night, and what an incredible event that was. Now, before I get to any of that, and before we welcome in Jeff Sintel into today's program, I wanted to mention something that I'd seen on Instagram, and I think for Georgia fans, they're going to like this. I think that there's a mood at the end of the 2018 season that Dog fans admittedly were just kind of sour, right? Heartbreaking disappointment against the Alabama Crimson Tide, and gosh knows that bunch continues to try to rub that in the face of Georgia fans, and I guess to the victor goes the spoils, and that's what they're choosing to do, which is their prerogative right now. But it was a heartbreaking loss for Georgia. And then there was a frustrating loss, not heartbreaking, but frustrating, with the way that Georgia played against Texas in the Sugar Bowl. And there's this restlessness that's out there. I talked about that when I was on the Feinbaum show this week. There is that restlessness that's out there from Georgia fans of, man, I'm getting tired of waiting. It's been close but no cigar at the end of the 2017 season, close but no cigar in the end of the 2018 season, and as much as Kirby Smart has built this Georgia program up as quickly as he has, let's face it, these are Georgia fans that have been waiting, as the Dogs' rivals like to point out, since 1980. So there's that restlessness that kicks in of, man, when is Georgia going to get over the hump? Well, if you're a Georgia fan that feels that way, and you want that to be a source of the motivation for the program going into 2019, I think you're getting your wish on this. Caris Jackson, obviously the really good Georgia wide receiver, getting ready to go into his sophomore season. He put something on his Instagram story of, apparently this is something that the players are being fed. Apparently this is a message that they are seeing a lot. And, you know, if you're listening on radio or a podcast, you obviously can't see this. I'll read this to you. But on Kieras' story, there's this big fancy graphic that says, if you think you've done enough, do more. And the letters that make up the words do more are gigantic. White print with a red background, do more. And then below that, you see the 35-28 final score of the SEC championship game and the 28-21 final score of the Sugar Bowl. That's a scenario that seems to be a message coming from the Georgia staff to its players. If you didn't like the way you felt in December in Atlanta and the embarrassment that you felt in January in New Orleans, then dig deeper right now. Start right now working to make a better conclusion to the 2019 season. Don't give yourself any opportunity for any regrets whatsoever. We've talked about that too around here with the notion of, you know, this needs to be a leave no doubt year for Georgia. I mean, you know, no matter how badly Georgia may have played in the Sugar Bowl, I think there is a real strong case to be made that Georgia, after the regular season ended, after the conference championship games on the first Saturday in December, that Georgia was still among the four best teams in the country, but it put its fate in the hands of the committee. And when you do that, you are certainly, there's a possibility you're going to fall victim to being just, you know, somebody else being chosen. In the case of the committee, they favored Notre Dame and they favored Oklahoma over Georgia. That's what happens when you put your hands in the fate of the committee. But in 2019, there's the hope for a lot of Georgia fans that there is no doubt that you don't give the committee a chance to leave you out of the college football playoff. And that image that Caris Jackson shares from his Instagram story would seem to be a belief that Georgia itself is buying into that as well. To do more now with preparation, both physically and mentally, emotionally, spiritually, whatever, that when it comes time for December to roll around again and that hopeful matchup occurs with Alabama in the SEC championship game again, this time Georgia can get over that hump. And this time Georgia can go back to New Orleans for a very different reason. Not the consolation prize of the Sugar Bowl, but the actual national championship game, which is slated to be back in the Big Easy next year. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of what Mike Johnson said on yesterday's program. I got a lot of feedback from y'all about having Mike back on the air. I was really happy to be able to bring him back, and I know many of you enjoyed that too. And one of the things we talked about that many of you really seemed to like was the parallel that seems to exist between Mike's team in Alabama and Georgia in this regard. That, you know, Mike was a part of a Alabama team that came up short. In 2008, had a chance to win the SEC in what would have been Saban's second season there. They did win the West, but came up short in the SEC championship game. Went to the Sugar Bowl against a Utah team, and Utah a lot farther down the trough than the Texas team that Georgia played. And Alabama, I think Mike himself would say, really kind of got embarrassed that day. And it was a bad look for the program at the time, but ultimately everything kind of worked out. A lot of you took a lot of comfort in some of the stuff that Mike had to say yesterday. So in relationship to what Kyaris Jackson just showed us on Instagram, that Georgia's challenging itself right now to do more and put the bad taste of the Sugar Bowl sort of in the distant memory and make sure there is no repeat of that or the repeat of coming up just short against Alabama. Listen to Mike Johnson here, and I think that'll make you even feel even better about the potential theme that's developing as Georgia goes through this offseason heading towards the 2019 year. Here is Mike Johnson, the former Alabama All-American, a guy who was a part of an embarrassing Sugar Bowl loss after the 2008 season. Here is what he said on Dog Nation Daily just yesterday.
When I was watching it, I mean, it reminded me so much of that 2008 Sugar Bowl against Utah. Tough loss for us in the SEC title against number one ranked Florida that year. Very, very good team with Tim Tebow at quarterback. We were not able to knock them off. And we went to the Sugar Bowl, and it was more of a victory lap for us. Or we thought it was going to be more of a victory lap for us. It was, you know, we're going up against a lesser team. We were highly favored in the game. We thought we'd just show up and put on the uniforms, and we'd be able to win the football game. I ended up having to play left tackle. Andre Smith got suspended. I got injured in the football game. We didn't have much offensive line left. We ran up against some injury issues, some guys that had already decided to go pro. I mean, it, to me, Georgia and this Sugar Bowl is a mirror image. And I told you that before when we have kind of compared some of the things going on. That Sugar Bowl for teams like Georgia and Alabama is a death trap. You go down there and you do not play. That Sugar Bowl is not a real football game. I tell people all the time, it's not real. You go down there and it's almost like a vacation. It happened to Bama against Oklahoma a couple of years ago, too, when they were highly favored.
Now, what's interesting about what Mike says, and I've mentioned this before, that it's really people outside of Dog Nation who were most willing to give Georgia a free pass for what happened during the Sugar Bowl. If you really look at the aftermath of that game on our program, it was the Georgia fans who were the most mad about it. And there'd be this conventional wisdom, you know, the people that are kind of, you know, outside of SEC country would say, oh, these SEC people are delusional. They want to act like every time they lose a game that, you know, they weren't focused, they weren't motivated. That's the excuse for every loss that takes place. But it wasn't Georgia fans, for the most part, saying what Mike said. Mike's an Alabama guy. You know, he's not giving Georgia a free pass there because he loves Georgia and wants to make excuses for Georgia. He's coming from his own perspective, having played in a game like that. A lot of the national media, national writers, were echoing a lot of the same things that Mike was saying. They were essentially saying, you know, Georgia's not going to be ranked any lower next season because it lost to Texas. It was really the Georgia fan, though, that wanted to make a bigger deal about the game and say, hold on a second, my team didn't play well, and I want some answers as to why. I want to know what that's about. It was really the Georgia fan who was kind of more upset and more wanting to hold it against the Dogs than non-Georgia fans were about the way the game works out. But Mike says, hey, it's not even a real football game. It's like a death trap for the SEC team in that spot because it is so far removed from the ultimate goal that you want to be a part of. And, by the way, Mike went even further than that on yesterday's show, and this is the part that I heard so many people say, hey, B.A., that really helped me. That made me feel better. That got me more excited about the upcoming season. Not only did Mike say that you can't really be that worried about losing the game, he said that the game itself can actually end up being kind of a motivating force, which brings us back to what Kyaris Jackson put on his Instagram story. The notion of doing more, of using that as a source of motivation. Mike Johnson, the guy who was in the same spot in his own college career not all that long ago, says, you know what? It is actually very much a possibility. Here's Mike.
I would tell Georgia fans not to panic and not to be too worried about it. It's not going to have a huge bearing on what you do next year. Now, if anything, B.A., I would almost say it's a good thing because you look in the mirror at yourself and you say, boy, we can't really just show up and win these games in this Georgia jersey. We really do have to focus on what we have to do to be able to win on Saturday or on Monday or whenever the game is scheduled. So if you want to really swirl it around and try to spit out some really good spin on it, I'd say, listen, they put up posters in the Texas Longhorns all offseason. You remind yourself you can't show up and just win football games, and they'll probably spin this into a lot more victories in the near future. I don't think that this is some kind of ultimatum, I guess, on what Georgia will be in the future. It's not like any other game. It's a week long. It's in New Orleans. You get a month to prepare. There's guys going different directions, and Georgia will learn from it. I'd say don't panic. I've been through it, and the next year we win a national title, so it's not the end of the world.
I've been through it. and the next year we won a national title. That's the line that I heard from people. In fact, a Dog Nation Daily listener tweeted at me on this. I think it's Richard Tom, I believe he is. He sent that tweet into me that said, I enjoyed hearing Mike Johnson on Dog Nation Daily yesterday. The quote, we lost the Sugar Bowl, and the next year we won the national championship. Richard says, I hope this is foreshadowing for us Georgia fans. Hashtag go Dogs. A lot of UGA fans will agree with Richard on that, and I think a lot of people will love the idea of hearing Mike describe exactly the way he thought this might go, with Georgia coaches plastering that Texas score all over the football facility. Well, according to Kyrus Jackson, that may indeed be going on. The notion of doing more in 2019, of leaving no doubt, of erasing the bad taste of near miss against Alabama and less than a Georgia's best against Texas, it sounds like that's a source of motivation this offseason, and that, I'm guessing, is really good news for a lot of Georgia fans. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thank you for being with us live on video today, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon, of course, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And we are available in podcast form wherever the podcast can be found, including posting the show every day at the world-famous DogNation.com. No matter how you get to the show, live, on demand, radio, something else, we're really glad you're with us today and really excited about seeing you this upcoming Tuesday as well, because really I'm trying to send out the call to anybody that can be anywhere near Kennesaw coming up this Tuesday night, because we've never been to the Marlowe's Tavern location in Kennesaw before, but this upcoming Tuesday for our Countdown to Signing Day event, that's exactly where we are going to be. What an incredible night that's slated to be this upcoming Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m. The address, once again, is 745 Chastain Road in Kennesaw. That's 745 Chastain Road in Kennesaw. That's the address for the first time ever for us at a Marlowe's Tavern in Cobb County. It's going to be that final build-up towards National Signing Day. Great inside information from Jeff Sintel and a whole lot of fun with you. The Marlowe's Tavern folks always roll out the red carpet. And this upcoming week, maybe the biggest and the best we've done this entire year. So please make sure you can make plans to join us this upcoming Tuesday for our Countdown to Signing Day event at the Marlowe's Tavern in Kennesaw. Really looking forward to that. We got a Kroger kickoff we'll do in just a moment to look ahead to the weekend. Kind of a busy one for UGA Athletics. We'll tell you about that. As I said, Jeff Sintel will join us on the phone here in a minute, too. We'll talk a lot of recruiting with him. Before that, let me mention what was a great night for us last night. I mentioned this off the top of the program. Touchdown Club of Atlanta hosted their annual awards banquet. N'Kobe Dean was honored as the linebacker of the year. You had all-star awards going out to guys like Trayvon Walker. Dominic Blaylock received one of those. And Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm was in the room, because his brother Dylan was also being honored as a terrific performance for Warner Robins. Huge numbers that Dylan Fromm put up in his final year in high school football. Jake was on hand to celebrate with him. And we were talking about this before our show began today. And a great night, a lot of really good-looking future Georgia football players on hand. The coolest moment of all may have been captured by a photo that Jeff Sintel took. And if you saw this on either Dog Nation's Instagram page or Jeff Sintel's own personal Twitter feed, in fact, on video, I think we have a chance to see this. How about a picture speaking 1,000 words of the smiling Jake Fromm standing next to the smiling Dominic Blaylock? I love Jeff Sintel's capture for that. Touchdown passes at UGA between these two, he asks. Bet the over, and I think that's indeed true. I think both these guys, in so many ways, are just really cool embodiments of what Georgia fans want Georgia football to be about. Blaylock has gone about his business in such an impressive way, leading into what will be his, obviously now, his final season, high school football being over, about to enroll in Georgia in just a few months, and what Jake Fromm's done speaks for itself. We know from conversations in the past that Blaylock's really excited about working with Jake Fromm. In fact, when he joined us not too long ago to Marlowe's Tavern broadcast, he talked about that. He likes what he's seen from Fromm, and he wants to catch touchdown passes from him in the future. Here is Dom on Fromm.
The way he controls the offense, he has a very good arm. He can put it on the spot, and he's a very, very good leader, too.
Yeah, he has definitely a good leader, and he'll have full control of those reins of leadership here in 2019. Jake was also there, as I said, celebrating with Dylan Fromm, who had a chance to win a big award. Just a really cool night, and a great chance for most of these guys who were really busy for most of the football year, you know, whether you're a college guy coming back or a high school guy going through the rigors. Most of these guys are pretty busy. A chance last night to relax, and not just the guys that are going to Georgia, but Talia Tungavailoa was in the room. A lot of the the coaches who were honored as coaches of the year were in the room. Just a great night to celebrate what so many of us love, which is the game of football. And this, the high school football ranks, a really cool night with the Touchdown Club of Atlanta. It was great to be a part of that. We'll have more with Jeff Sintel on kind of what he heard from that event last night. We'll do that coming up. Before that, though, let me also remind you that it's a busy weekend for UGA Athletics. We love to kick off the weekend here on Fridays on Dog Nation Daily with our Kroger kickoff. And here's what you need to know on your calendar as far as upcoming events for UGA Athletics. It gets started tonight with the Gym Dogs. They are in action tonight as the Gym Dogs get ready to take on Auburn on the road. So pay close attention to that. That is coming up. And then you've got men's basketball on Texas against Texas. It's that SEC Big 12 showdown. Men's basketball team against Texas there for that. That's coming up on Saturday. Obviously, the Dogs need a win, and they'll look to get one against Shaka Smart's Longhorns coming up this weekend. And then it says Lady Dogs versus Alabama. Is that's Sunday, though, right? I believe that may be Sunday. I believe the Lady Dogs are on Sunday, but obviously check out Joni Taylor's team there, too, as a lot of sports interaction for the University of Georgia. And, of course, around here, we wish all those teams well as they try to maintain a lot of success. So really good stuff. And, by the way, speaking of the Kroger kickoff, right now as we head towards the big game, Kroger's got a great offer for you to kind of make your big game party go even better. Your local Atlanta Kroger right now is featuring 10% off any six bottles of wine. So if you really want to stock up and have a great party, obviously those bottles of wine from Kroger let you do it, and you can get 10% off any six right now. You can even mix and match and have everything you need to make your party go as smoothly as it needs to next Sunday. So check out your local Atlanta Kroger for more on that. All right. We have got a lot to do on our program today, and much of it involves recruiting. We are getting close to signing day, and there could be some surprises in store as Georgia heads towards early February. Let's find out more from that and about that as we welcome in Jeff Sintel right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
We will say hello to Jeff Sintel here, and I did have a chance to be with him last night along with our buddy Connor Riley at the Touchdown Club of Atlanta event. And, you know, Jeff, before you joined us, we did show the image that you snapped and put on your Twitter feed, the Dog Nation Instagram feed as well, of Jake Fromm and Dominic Blaylock standing side by side with each other. I said before you joined us that if there was ever a picture that tells a thousand words, those two smiling faces smiling next to each other, that conjures up an awful lot of predictions about what might happen for these two together, and an awful lot of excitement about what 2019 might look like as Fromm gets himself another offensive weapon to work with. Blaylock is an impressive young man. He had a terrific high school career, capped off with three touchdowns in the Army All-American Bowl, or what used to be the Army All-American Bowl, just the All-American Bowl now. I would imagine Jake Fromm's probably pretty excited about tossing the ball in his direction. Wouldn't you guess?
Yeah, man. Good morning, everybody. I would think, Brandon, when I saw that picture and I put it up, I just thought, you know, these are two guys that are just going to come to work, just going to put their head down. They're just going to do more, like the slogan around the weight room right now. And they're just going to try and get a little bit better each day. I mean, I put up something, everybody has to clever up something with a tweet these days or whatever. And I just looked at that picture and I thought, might be the first one I've seen of Fromm and Blaylock together like that. Might be a few more of those two guys together in the end zone in Athens in the years to come.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting. And, you know, one of the things I've always been impressed with when it comes to Blaylock, Jeff, is just the demeanor with which he's kind of gone about his business, right? I mean, you know, he's going to step onto Georgia within kind of a high-profile way. Fromm was like that. We were with him at the Touchdown Club a couple of years ago. It's amazing that his career is, you know, now kind of getting more towards, like, the later stages. And it seems like just yesterday we were watching him get ready to make his ascent to the college level, the University of Georgia. But you get the impression for Blaylock, and seeing him in the room last night, another example of this, you get the impression that this is not too much for him, that he's not overcome with all of this or overtaken by this, because he just sort of takes it in stride. This is not, you know, this is a guy who seems to compartmentalize this level of attention pretty well. And I'm guessing, I'm no psychologist or anything like that, but I'm guessing that will help him in college. He just doesn't seem to be that impressed with himself. And even in a night where a lot of people are, you know, putting their eyes on him, he's sort of disaffected by all that, which I think it does help him at the big time SEC level as an incoming freshman.
Yeah, Blaylock's a guy that, you know, it's kind of a shame, because he stood to be the first five-star signee at receiver since 2000, 9 and Marlon Brown that Georgia has. Everybody always reminds me, what about Terry Godwin? But Terry Godwin was rated as an athlete. But the final rankings have been tabulated and out, and he finishes as a 4-star, the nation's number 5 receiver, I guess. And he's still a special talent for Georgia, especially considering the migration and I guess the attrition, you would call it, at the receiver spot there for Georgia. I mean, he's a young man that steady is the way to do it, and he's just a guy that's just going to not worry about any outside factors whatsoever. He's just going to do what he's told, and he's a guy that, to me, is a – and let's look at what happened in Georgia last year in Cortez Hankton's room. That's a guy that stresses discipline, blocking, doing all the little things exactly right. Your feet are on the ground. You're taking notes. And that's an environment that I know Blaylock will flourish in. That's something that will come naturally to him, and he's just going to put his head down and go.
We also had a chance to spend some time with Trayvon Walker yesterday. That's an extended interview that folks will get a chance to see him before the Hedges coming up next week. And, you know, Jeff, it's probably no big surprise to hear that I'm impressed with Trayvon Walker, but I am. First of all, I thought he looked great last night. This is a guy that's, you know, even before arriving at Georgia, already in really good shape. And this is also a competent young man that seems to already be plugging in and trying to get ready for his college career, even though he's still finishing up his time at Upson Lee. He's a 3-sport guy, and he wanted to finish out and do that work. But as a fan who admittedly wants to see Walker do well at Georgia, I don't think I could ask much more right now from a guy that's physically in really good shape, but also mentally he's just really eager to get going. He talked to you about, you know, kind of digesting a lot of the stuff that there is to be known. They've, you know, George's already reached out to him to say, hey, start learning this and get used to this and following this plan, and he seems to be doing that. I really liked what I heard from Trayvon Walker. Everyone else will get to hear the entire interview on Before the Hedges next week, but what were your impressions of spending some time, maybe for the last time, with Walker as a non-Georgia player before he enrolls in the summer? What were your impressions of hanging out with Trayvon last night?
Well, number one is the purple shoes, man. I tell you, I don't. That's something that belongs in Brandon's closet, man. Those are some nice.
I was impressed. I was.
Size 15s. I tell you, they had to really skin a lot of grimaces in order to get those size 15s out there. You know, the main thing I thought about was just Brandon. And there's a lot of stuff to talk about. Trayvon Walker. I mean, Trayvon was seen by 24/7 Sports in their final evals as the nation's number one overall defensive tackle. They even speculated and theorized that he could be an eventual project as a number one overall NFL draft pick one day. He has that type of rare special ability at 6'5" and about 275-280 pounds. But, you know, to me, it was just weird how things have changed. I mean, there's a moment at the Touchdown Club meeting. And let's face it, man, it was just 2 years ago when there was no such thing as an early signing period, and there were kids walking the halls everywhere that had not signed. And can you imagine what would have been happening on a Dog Nation Daily in 2016 if Georgia priority target Trayvon Walker shows up at an awards banquet on the eve of National Signing Day with Clemson purple orange flecks on the bow tie, yeah, purple shoes? I mean, that would have been at least good for a few exasperated gasps, or at least several tweets about, is this a tell, is this a sign? And when in reality, it is what it is.
That would
it's
be quite the panic.
He looks pretty good.
Yeah, that would be quite the panic-inducing move. Now, I would say he looks better in purple and orange than I would, so I'll give him credit for that. He pulls that ensemble off better than I probably would. But, yes, if there was no signature on a letter of intent and we were heading towards old school signing day and you had Walker decked out in purple and orange, because we know that Clemson was obviously a school he did pay some attention to, I would imagine we'd be pretty anxious around here, and I would imagine we'd have some breathless conversations about that, and I'd probably be getting some criticism for why am I asking about him 200 times, but that's exactly what we'd be doing if it wasn't for the status that's in place now.
Yeah, there's a blog that kind of summarizes the Touchdown Club banquet that will go up today on the site, and one of the points in there is it's striking how things have changed, because out of the nation's top 100 players, 87 of those guys are already signed, sealed, and delivered. There's very few of them. I think the number is about 6, actually 7 that haven't committed anywhere at all, and then there's maybe about 4 more guys that have committed somewhere, but they have yet to sign their letters of intent. It's really taken down the mess, the crazy, the furor regarding those old school national signing days and reduced it probably by about 80-85%. And now everybody kind of carries those burdens and writes those stories in December for the most part. While Georgia, huge weekend this weekend, a lot of elite juniors are coming into town. Perhaps some of the biggest names are going to show up, besides the official visitor in Javon Shepherd for the 2019 class, who's there right now, is a five-star running back by the name of Marshawn Lloyd. Now, he's a thick, impressive. We put the highlights up on the Dog Nation forum all week about Marshawn Lloyd, about 6'1", about 205, already reps out 225 on the bench 20-plus times. Has a little bit of flex of Gurley, a little bit of flex of Chubb, and a little bit of flex of Sony Michel in his game. And he's in Athens right now for an unofficial visit along with a lot of other key juniors this weekend.
Yeah, I want to ask you one more thing about the banquet. But a little bit, since you mentioned Lloyd, let me bring him up. That's a name that you've kind of pushed on us. You know, I talk a lot about Kendall Milton. I talk a lot about Zachary Evans. But Lloyd's one of those guys that you keep saying, hey, when you're talking about these running backs, don't forget to include him in that conversation as well. Jeff, tell us a little bit more about why you feel like he belongs in that Milton-Evans 2020 running back conversation.
Yeah, perhaps maybe one of the biggest nexuses, I think I'm using that term right, one of the biggest central regions of talent for Georgia in the 2020 class is going to be that D.C. metro area. And you got Mikael Sherman there. That's the five-star linebacker out of St. John's who runs 4.5s on the laser. You've got Brian Brzee. That's the nation's number one overall prospect for 2020 coming out of Maryland. And then you've got the aforementioned Mr. Lloyd, who is, you know, races the nation's number four running back, and it is what it is, man. That gentleman named Del McGee is going to go after five stars first, and then he's going to look at the national elite backs, and he's been working those guys for over a year now already. And those are the top targets. And then there's some other regional guys, or, you know, the best guy in Florida, the best guys in Georgia. Those guys are going to have to wait until Georgia's figured out itself with the elite national backs in the country. And Kendall Milton out of California, Marshawn Lloyd out of Maryland, powerful domestic Catholic in Maryland, which shoots players out far and wide every year. That's Nick Cross, currently committed to Florida State. Everybody remembers the name Anthony McFarland of a few years back, another great domestic Catholic running back. That is one of the most prestigious programs in the country. And he's already felt that Georgia has been showing him the love as well.
I think that's really exciting to think about, you know, Georgia getting in there and getting going with that region. As I said before, I did want to mention one more thing on the banquet from last night before we moved on to some of the guys who are visiting this weekend. I love N'Kobe Dean, who was honored last night as the linebacker, as they call it, the lineman of the year, because of the just the, you know, the way they tabulate that. I loved him talking about wanting to be an early enrollee, Jeff. I loved hearing from him that desire to get on campus as quickly as he could and start, you know, really getting ingrained in the college program. And for so many guys, they've seen that early enrollment, that opportunity to go through spring practice, be a springboard that can lead to playing time in their freshman year as seasoned, you know, athletes and seasoned in terms of what you need to know to play the linebacker position in the SEC. I love the enthusiasm that Dean showed last night at the Touchdown Club of Atlanta Award Banquet about being an early enrollee at Georgia. I mean, what did you make of the fact that this is a guy that's already on campus and kind of getting used to that program, and I would imagine that can only help him as he tries to make an impact in his freshman season, correct?
He's rooming with Tresman Marshall and Nolan Smith. The fourth pod in that flat is saved for one aforementioned Trayvon Walker, but he's a guy, perhaps one of the most interesting things that was talked about regarding Mr. Dean last night was the 4.7 everyone threw out. No, that wasn't his 40 time. That was his final senior year, which I guess was simply one semester GPA at Horn Lakes in Mississippi, right outside of Memphis. Carried a 4.7 GPA, finished with a 4.4 GPA, and he's a guy. I think Georgia has some guys at the inside linebacker spot that are either athletes, excuse me, and maybe students of the game that are really cerebral and heavy into their playbooks. I think Dean is the nice genesis of the guy that's an athlete, 6 foot, about 220, you know, going to rep everything you want to see, and big numbers in the weight room, 600 squat, 350 clean, 350 bench. But he's also going to handle that cerebral side of the football game really well. And I think that's something that Glenn Schumann really brings out of his guys, the way he coaches inside backers at Georgia. He's seen as a professor. He's seen as one of the most astute and the smartest X's and O's guys at the inside linebacker position already in the SEC. And I think N'Kobe Dean and Glenn Schumann are going to be a great match together.
I think it was eye-opening for some that Javon Shepherd, the four-star offensive tackle from Texas, who we've talked about before on Before the Hedges, but maybe seemed like he was trending away from UGA as of late. According to some stuff on his social media, he's actually visiting Georgia. In fact, I think we have a cool piece of video that we can show. Jeff, I know you've seen this, of Shepherd getting ready to rock and roll with his there he is, in what looks to be a very cool vehicle, as you know, he's transported there. I see the Georgia G's on the back of the leather seats. Jeff, is this the way the guys are getting transported around right now? You got the Georgia highlights on the screen in the background. I feel like this is a vehicle I might enjoy. Is this really the way that these guys get treated on their official visits now? Because I got to tell you, that is a pretty cool vehicle for an OV right there.
So we got to figure this out, Brandon. It's our duty as correspondents who dutifully work this beat here. Is that the Kirby Mobile, a la the Kirby Copter? Is it the commit to the G Uber? Is it the G Wagon? What are we talking about?
Listen,
we got to find a nickname for that thing, because
yeah,
it's got the TV, it's got the bucket seats, it's got the Power G. That is a modern toy for a modern recruiting machine.
Yeah, listen, don't even get me started on that Kirby Copter. I'm so over that thing now. You know, he was back somewhere again this week, Jeff, with a yellow and black helicopter again. Why can't they stick with the red and the black helicopters? Don't even get me started on that. That's an entirely different story. I was very unhappy to see this bumblebee yellow and black helicopter that Kirby Smart was flying around in. It's what Javon Shepherd's in. That's the look that Georgia needs to go for there. That is the really impressive deal. And I know if you're listening right now, you can't see that, but maybe check out the video portion of the show just to at least see how Javon Shepherd was picked up. But maybe a more important question than the transportation, it's the player himself. Jeff, what does this mean, given the limited number of guys that Georgia has, that Shepherd is on campus, has visited, getting the red carpet treatment? How does that name factor into some of the other conversations we've been having as of late?
Well, we've dove into this on the forum a little bit this week as well, but here's what it is. This is a young man from the state of Texas. Texas and Texas A&M, very hard to pull that out of it, pull a guy that's leaned toward those programs for so long. There are times where, like I've said this a couple times, Brandon, I'm sure you pound your desk when I do, but sometimes you're just going to be official visit number four, official visit number three, or official visit number five. It's a midweek official visit. Obviously, Georgia needs tackles. We talked about on the forum, kind of the pitch from Georgia is going to look something like, you see Andrew Thomas over there, and you see Isaiah Wilson over there. We're probably going to prepare like they're going to be in the NFL draft for the 2020 season. And so the only other pure tackle bodies that we will have on campus at that time, if those guys choose to go ahead and early entry to the NFL, is that would be 1K Base, that would be 1 Owen Condon, and then that would be a pair of guys in Warren McClendon and Xavier Truss, who just signed in the 2019 class, potentially along with Javon Shepherd, who's 6'6 and a half, great athleticism. Looks like he carries 15, 18, 19, 20 pounds, like he's in a compression Nike gear, something like that. Georgia, obviously, tackles are one of those positions. We talked about that on Before the Hedges this week, where Georgia still does not have a lot of top-10 guys, top 10 rated at their position guys in the program. And that's a place where Javon Shepherd is coming in. He is at a position of clear need, maybe not for 2019, but definitely for 2020 and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, I just have to be honest. Obviously, as you said, Shepherd does fill that need, and he's a good enough prospect to be committed to Texas. But when I think about, you know, my own personal favored close to this 2019 class, I guess now I'm not even going to bring up George Pickens because I've done that so much. But, you know, if you gave me the choice of Shepherd, the offensive tackle, or flipping a guy like Nick Cross from Florida State to go along, obviously, with the number one name that seems to be on everybody's mind, which is Kyrie Lam, you know, I'm still going to choose Cross over Shepherd, despite the fact that offensive tackle, as you've rightly pointed out, is a position of need. I just think Cross is a better player, Jeff.
yeah, Cross is clocking 6.55s and 60. Definitely Georgia needs to increase its depth and excellence in the back end with another guy like that. I mean, imagine teaming up Cross and Lewis Cine eventually as the safety spot at Georgia 2020, 2021 going forward. Those are some big, fast, and long dudes that like to hit people. And you think about the ideal close. Is it two names? Is it three names? I don't think it's getting any bigger than three names. And I don't really see Pickens as a guy right now. I don't see Shepard as a guy right now, especially off just one visit. Another thing about that image and those images on social media is you don't see his family with him there at all, or lots of friends with him there at all. And so that's a difficult thing to do, because on those midweek officials, you're very likely not to get mom and dad involved because of days off work. I think the ideal close would probably be something like Elam. Brent Seither still need a tight end in the program as well, but I think the most important pieces, hard to argue with your two pieces right there, and that would be Dick Cross and Kyrie Elam, but Shepard's definitely in need. I think the hardest part for Georgia, and this is the new Georgia way of doing things, it's probably why that, let's call it the G-Wagon or the commit to the Uber, works really well for the Georgia program, is I think an interesting player is Mark Anthony Richards. Now, this is a number 90 overall player in the country, and a lot of recruitniks are sitting there scratching their heads going, does Georgia have room? Can they wedgehorn him in there? How does Georgia fit in a Mark Anthony Richards? Because they got so many other options, and they've got so few slots left for the nation's number 2 overall class.
Boy, Jeff, that's a lot to digest there, and I'll admit, you know, Mark Anthony Richards is one of those guys, the more that I'm looking on him, the more I am interested in what he brings to the table. That's that's an interesting name to think about, and we'll see as we head towards the signing day if Georgia can wrest away that official visit, I guess, away from Penn State for Nick Cross, and that's what it is, right? You got to get him to come to Athens instead of going to State College. I mean, is that what the Nick Cross story really is in the final stages?
Well, you know, I would say the guys that wear the red and black Oakleys that don't have to be as objective as I do in my business, they're sitting there thinking, well, Nick Cross did take a somewhat quasi-secret unofficial visit to Georgia for a game. He's seen the facilities and everything else. The in-home visit happened and everything else. So there are embers and sparks there, but the reality is if you've got one final official visit, you give it to Penn State instead of the University of Georgia, the odds of Georgia becoming the school, when all is said and done, become a lot lower.
Jeff, thank you so much. Appreciate that. We'll look forward to reading a bunch from you over the course of the next few days. Signing day is getting close. And, Jeff, I'm really looking forward to being with you this upcoming Tuesday at the Marlowe's in Kennesaw. I think that's going to be one of our most fun Marlowe's events so far this year. To be for the first time in Kennesaw is going to be a blast. I can't wait to see you there, too.
Might be a simple, sly intel drop right here, and it's not that Brandon's going to show up in a custom-made Humvee D&D wagon with Power G's everywhere or Power D&D's everywhere, but might actually have a special guest at this event next Tuesday. Sometimes these countdowns to signing day events have a special guest, and maybe we'll just keep our fingers crossed on that one.
Ooh, that is really exciting to think about. Jeff, thank you for letting us know about that. That gets me even more excited. Jeff, enjoy your weekend. We will talk to you soon.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
How about Jeff dropping that little nugget in at the end? A special guest at Marlowe's on Tuesday. I cannot wait. You know, the audio I played earlier in the show from Dominic Blaylock was from Blaylock's visit. You know, if you go back and look over the years, these Marlowe's events, I mean, you know, it's been Dominic Blaylock. It's been Andrew Thomas. It's been a lot of these guys who've, you know, gone on to stardom or certainly have ingratiated themselves, in the case of Blaylock, with UGA fans. You know, we kind of, you know, kind of get in on the ground floor sometimes these Marlowe's Tavern events. So no telling who it could be this Tuesday. But, boy, that's exciting to think about for the Kennesaw location coming up this week. Really good stuff. And, by the way, that's not the only big thing happening next week. Let me make sure you are aware of what's going on. You know, it's kind of super week here in Atlanta next week. That means there are a lot of big names around the state of Georgia in honor of the big game next Sunday. And Kroger's going to be the place to be for a couple of these. Let me show you next week what's coming up. If you are in Athens or can be in Athens, coming up next Thursday, that's January 31st, 4 to 6 p.m. at the Kroger on 191 Alps Road in Athens, A.J. Green going to be there. It's an autograph opportunity with A.J. Green. Obviously, it's going to be a huge crowd, so there's some special details you need to be aware of. You can see there's those there on your screen. But A.J. Green in the Kroger in Athens coming up Thursday starting at 4 p.m. And then on Friday at the Kroger 318 Mall Boulevard in Savannah. And I know a lot of you have been saying, hey, when is something big going to happen for us over here in Savannah? Well, Kroger's going to take care of you next week. The 318 Mall Boulevard location of Kroger there in Savannah, Georgia. The great former Georgia wide receiver, Muhammad Massaqua, who's got a great story to tell and just a really cool guy. He's going to be there from 3 to 5 p.m. next Friday. It's 1 week from today, Friday, February 1st. Once again, you know, it's wristbands for the first 150 people. So there's a line, and you know, there's some, you know, you got some crowd control measures to take care of here. But Muhammad Massaqua next Friday in Savannah. A.J. Green next Thursday in Athens. Two great former NFL guys, former Georgia receivers who are going to be signing autographs at Kroger. What a fun thing that's going to be. Mark your calendar for that. All right, SEC through time. And by the way, when the SEC through is done, you know, we were talking about Trayvon Walker a moment ago. You're going to see the full interview with Trayvon next Wednesday on Before the Hedges, also presented by Kroger. I did want to give you a little taste of something specifically that he said yesterday, because there is something that I really like about Trayvon right now, and I'm probably a little different on this with him than I typically would be with most recruits. I'll tell you about that from Trayvon Walker's own words coming up in just a moment. We are obviously in a brand new age of college football. This transfer portal is the biggest topic of conversation really anywhere. You get around football people, that's what everybody's talking about, because the challenge for coaches navigating this is just so difficult right now. There were a ton of Virginia Tech players that just went to the transfer portal. I know Virginia Tech's not an SEC school, but I saw where Justin Fuente, the Virginia Tech coach, responded to this. He had to put out a big statement here this week on the heels of a number of Virginia Tech players inserting themselves in the transfer portal. I won't read the whole thing. He says, our coaching staff remains firmly committed to developing a winning culture at Virginia Tech, where our student-athletes can learn, grow, and thrive in all aspects of blah, blah, blah. He says, I respect the fact that each individual circumstance and situation are different. He's acknowledging the fact this transfer thing is going to go on. With that said, I'm very excited about the calendar and the character and talent of the young men on our team, and remain enthused with the potential of this football team for 2019 and beyond. He's obviously having to put out some fires given the fact that a bunch of Virginia Tech guys did go in the transfer portal. Now, I will admit, from a selfish standpoint, one of the reasons why I noticed Fuente's statement is because one of the guys that put himself in the transfer portal is Eric Kuma, a receiver for the Hokies that had 7 touchdowns last year, started 12 games for Virginia Tech. He put himself in the transfer portal. There's obviously a thought that Georgia could use a little help at the wide receiver position, given the fact that Mecole Hardman and Riley Ridley are on their way to the NFL. Well, I did happen to notice, now I can't tell when this happened, I did happen to notice that Todd Hartley is now following Eric Kuma on Twitter. So, listen, do with that what you will. I mean, we're all, and I'm going to be the first one to tell you, total hypocrites about all of this. I mean, I'm going to be the first one to be hand-wringing about, oh, gosh, this is a slippery slope for college football, and this is a real problem. This transfer portal may open up a Pandora's box of unintended consequences. I'm going to say that on one side of my mouth, and then out of the other side of my mouth, I'm going to be looking to see who's in this transfer portal that Georgia might be able to get. Nobody wants their own players in the portal. Everybody wants everybody else's players, and so I guess that's all just sort of par for the course. One more thing to get to is kind of a quasi-SEC through. Our buddy Connor Riley had pointed me out to this, tipped me off to this. I do like Athlon Sports. I think that's a fun college football website. They've got one of those fun preseason, you know, preview lists out of the top 25 games for the 2019 season. If I'm doing the math correctly here, 4 of those top 10 games in the country for next year are all Georgia games. It's Notre Dame coming to Athens. It's Georgia, Florida. It's Texas A&M, Georgia Auburn's in there. So you want to get a little bit of a sense for how the Georgia schedule is viewed by some people right now. Athlon, who knows college football really well, they've got this is not just the SEC. This is college football. This is the entire, you know, college football slate. And 4 of the top 10 games in the country next season, according to Athlon Sports, involve the University of Georgia. And I think for a lot of Georgia fans who, let's face it, the last couple of years have been a little bit disappointed by the slate of the home schedule, the state of the home schedule, not a lot of marquee games, to have the Irish and the Aggies coming to Athens for the first time as an SEC team. I think there are a lot of Georgia fans who are excited about that home slate next year. I do think that Georgia-Florida is going to have a lot of buzz. Around here, we're Gator haters. The game's always got buzz for us. I think nationally it's got buzz next season. And as Athlon mentions, I don't think Auburn on the road is a game you can disregard. This is one of those lucky years for Auburn where they get Georgia and Alabama both at home in the month of November. It's tough for them when it's both on the road. But they get a chance to host that game next year, and obviously in 2017, that trip was a problem for Georgia. So this is a probably on paper a tough Georgia schedule, but the flip side of that for fans is it's also going to be a fun Georgia schedule, so I can't wait to talk to you guys and gals more about that as we get close to that. For now, we'll make that your SEC through. And I wanted to talk about Trayvon Walker more for a minute on Dog Nation Daily, and I said this. There's probably something I'm willing to tolerate with Walker in a way that I would not be super excited about this for most normal recruits. Trayvon Walker has chosen not to be an early enrollee. Walker is a really good basketball player. You've seen some probably highlights of him bouncing around the internet over the last couple of days. He's a really good basketball player, and he does field events as well, and he's pretty talented in that regard too. So he wanted to finish his high school career at Upson Lee before he came to Georgia. But what you love hearing from Walker, and you'll see this full interview on Before the Hedges next week, what you love hearing from Walker is, despite the fact that he's still playing basketball and despite the fact that he's still in high school, this is already a guy who's got some pretty strong considerations for what his college career is going to be like, and he's already starting work on that. I loved hearing this from Trayvon Walker. Here is some of what he told Jeff Sintel last night.
What are the next like 4 or 5 weeks going to look for you, 4 or 5 months going to look like for you?
Just trying to prepare for college. Even though I didn't early enroll, I still got a playbook. So, like, not the playbook, but a workout book so I can work out, get all my running, and just stay on top of all that so I'll be on top and ready to go when I get on campus.
Yeah, listen, I have no doubt that's what Walker's going to do, be on top and ready to go once he gets on campus. And, you know, if I was, you know, fearful that a Georgia signee was going to be sitting around playing Fortnite all the time, then, yeah, I would tell him he needs to get his rear end on campus and get going. But Trayvon Walker is serious about basketball. He's very good. Upson Lee's a terrific team. He is in great shape because of that. He's probably, from a weight standpoint, smaller now than he'll be when he plays at Georgia next season. But in terms of, you know, I'm guessing body fat percentage and things like that, Walker's in really good shape. So, you know, you don't mind him not being at Georgia because he's, you know, clearly going about his business in a serious way in terms of how he's hitting the weight room and how he's working on a lot of that kind of stuff. The other thing is, you know, Walker is entering his Georgia career when he gets there later on this summer with a lot of confidence. I think he feels like that even though he's not there yet, he's going to be ready to go once he gets there. Here's a little more with Jeff with Trayvon. And once again, I just really liked the level of confidence that he showed when he talked about his soon-to-be arrival at the University of Georgia. Here's Trayvon Walker again.
What have they told you about preparation and being ready? I'm sure they want all you guys ready, but what have they told you?
They just said when I get there, it's going to come even easier because I'll be competing against some of the other guys and all the conditioning. Don't worry about all that. It's just going to come to me.
I mean, we have said before a few times in kind of our candid, you know, off-the-cuff conversations that there are obviously a tremendous collection of athletes in the University of Georgia right now. But there are a small hand few who are like, you know, in sports you use that word freak, you know these athletic freaks who are like just beyond what you would expect even a typical athlete to be. Georgia's lucky enough right now to have a few of those. I think that Brenton Cox may be one of those. I think that Nolan Smith may be one of those. But you got to make sure you include Trayvon Walker in that conversation as well. I mean, something that Jeff Sintel said about him a moment ago when he joined us on the program really jumped out at me. That Trayvon's one of those guys, if you think about future number one overall NFL draft picks, that Trayvon Walker ought to be, you know, on your short list for that, much the same way that a Nolan Smith might be, you know, much the same way that a lot of people think of N'Kobe Dean kind of following the footsteps of a Roquan Smith, who could be himself a top 10 pick. We don't typically see interior linebackers go, you know, number one overall. When you think about those guys who could be at the very top of the first round of a future NFL draft, I think when it comes to incoming players at Georgia, you need to make some room for sure for Trayvon Walker in that conversation. That's the kind of career he could have at UGA, and getting a chance to hang out with him a little bit last night, he is clearly on a path that he hopes leads himself in that direction. That's a career that's going to be very fun to watch. All right, we'll get ready to wrap up here on our program today. I mentioned Athlon Sports having Georgia-Florida as one of its 10 most important games, best games of the upcoming season. It's the number 5 game on this list. Athlon says it's first place in the SEC East race. It should be on the line. Gators look to topple the Bulldogs in Jacksonville for statement win. Around here, we think that is a statement that Florida is not going to be making. No signature win for Florida coming against Georgia anytime soon. In fact, we love the idea that it's been a long time since Florida's got one of those at all. In fact, it's been 818 days. It's our Gator Hater Updater right here on Dog Nation Daily, and we love bringing that up. Something else I wanted to mention, you know, there's been a lot of controversy about this New Orleans Saints thing in the NFC Championship game. Did y'all see that the former Georgia tight end Ben Watson has spoken out about this? Watson's got a lot of gravitas. I was a little surprised to see him speak up as much as he did. He essentially challenged Roger Goodell. You should check that out. You'll have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday back here on Dog Nation Daily.